Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another week of the Packer Show with Wisco Fanatics. We got Tyler and myself here tonight. We'll be talking about a little bit of defensive line and edge rushers. Real quick on those two positions, me and Tyler were kind of talking about before. I think these are what we talked about last week with the offensive line and then defensive line as the two deepest positions in the draft. So we will go over 12 players at defensive line, 12 at edge rusher that we all kind of like and ranked in the top 12. But this week in the Packers, there was a little bit of Packers news this week. We did sign a kicker. So we brought in Greg Joseph, right? Is his name? Yeah, Greg Joseph. Yep. To compete a little bit, you know, with Carlson. Everyone's pretty excited because of his veteran kicker, but I would temper that a little bit, because if you go and actually look at his make percentage, it's very similar to Carlson, to be honest. They're very, very close. But for me, this just creates a lot of competition. I still think Carlson is ahead in the competition. He has a foot up because he was a draft pick last year. But this will hopefully kind of, you know, get him to push a little bit harder this offseason with a veteran in the room. So, or maybe, you never know, maybe, you know, Greg Joseph sees it as another opportunity. It sounds like he had a couple of other opportunities. He wanted Green Bay's. So hope maybe that, you never know, that will, you know, put him ahead as well. So it's good to create competition in that room. They need it. So
let me throw this out there as a, you know, like a devil's advocate thing. Is Greg Joseph, when he was signed, several beat writers were calling him a quote-unquote specialist, kickoff specialist. So I'm wondering with the new kickoff rule, which we talked about being a big deal for bringing Keyshawn Nixon back.
It is big, yep.
That I don't necessarily think they're going to keep two kickers. No. But if it's possible that they could use Greg Joseph to teach off, or if they do decide to go with Greg Joseph, I don't know what the rules are on a sixth-round pick being kept on the practice squad, and they have Greg Joseph then to teach Anders Carlson throughout the season. Like, here's what you can do for these scenarios on kickoffs, and then just let Anders Carlson focus on making field goals.
Yeah, and I know Greg Joseph, you know, he's got a powerful leg. He did make a 61-yarder. He hit 5 game winners. So was it not last year, the year prior, or something like that? And then He's pretty much a touchback machine if you want him to be. But I don't, you know, I haven't looked into the new rule. That puts it at the 30 if it's a straight right through the end zone, right? I think they get the ball at the 30.
Yeah, a regular touchback, I think an untouched touchback goes to like the 30-yard line.
Yeah. So we'll see how it turns out. So
this is another question that I haven't looked into. Are they using the kickoff rule, the new kickoff rule in preseason?
I imagine so. I mean, there's no way they're going to do the old one. And then I think they're probably, I know that's why the Packers voted against it, was because they wanted a trial period in the preseason. Right. Cause everyone was surprised that the Packers voted against them, especially with, you know, Keyshawn Nixon. But, Mark Murphy came out and said, yeah, we wanted a trial period. And then vote on it from there.
Jake said it goes to the 35. I thought the league, when they like submitted their like counter proposal, they wanted it moved to the 30. Did that maybe not pass?
Not sure. Did you see what else the NFL announced today? The expansion of the replay?
Yes.
In the booth? Yeah, it would have been nice to have the intentional grounding replayed this last year in the playoffs for the Packers, huh? Like, well,
probably one of the reasons why they're looking at instituting it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that doesn't happen in the playoffs. I mean, that's why they did the overtime rules for the playoffs. Yeah. Like, when things happen in playoff games that call into question,
what's going on in the game. Yeah, not called. Yeah. So,
yeah. And when, you know, roughing the passers happen, stuff like that, Jake said he's going to look. I'm just sharing the show in some Packers groups here so we can get some people watching. And then we are going to start with, as you can see on the bottom of the page here, defensive line. So Jake is not with us. He is under the weather. And so
Simon's climbing mountains in Alaska.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah,
living there bad enough, he wanted to climb the mountain,
like you do when you're in Alaska. That's what
you brought the bear spray.
So I have Simon's notes, and Jake is going to record a video when he is feeling better. So we're going to start with defensive line. Bryant, why don't you just tell me who your number one defensive lineman is?
Yeah, my first one is, you know, I was kind of going between two, but I just went kind of with chalk here and put Byron Murphy the second is my number one.
I like it. I have Tavondre Sweat number one, actually.
Wow. Okay.
So I said that one might be a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, Tavondre Sweat, I have him as my number one.
Who's breaking him down? Is that you?
Simon has Tavondre Sweat, but okay. He's got him a little bit later. Simon actually has Jerzon Newton as his number one.
That's my guy.
Jake said touchbacks will be to the 30, so you are correct. Bryant, hit me with your number two.
My number two is Jerzon Newton. So that's actually one of my guys I'm kind of looked into a little bit. 6'2", 304 pounds, so decent size. He probably had a little more weight, but a 4.95. The thing where I really liked about him is he played over 40 games in college, and he started as a freshman, and he improved literally every year as far as rushing the passer as well. First year, 1.5 sacks. Second year, 4.5 sacks. Third year, 5.5 sacks. Last year, 7.5 sacks. So this is like a guy, he's going to get after the quarterback. He has great upper body power and flexibility, and plays well with his feet. So good quickness to win against the blocks. He does need to get better with, I think, just his initial punch against the blockers and then keeping his pad level down. You know, so especially because I'm not saying he's short, 6'2 is still, tall, but for the NFL and going against offensive linemen and stuff, being 6'2 should be a little bit of advantage actually, because at some time, especially if you're running into him, exactly, you can keep that pad level down. So he just needs to make sure he keeps pad level down. But I think this would be, I've seen him going as early in around 20 in the draft. So, and I don't think the Packers are taking a defensive lineman in the first round unless someone really surprising drops. But, yeah. I think he's going to be a good player for somebody. So hopefully he goes in the AFC or something.
Yeah. And it could be one of those situations too, where say the Packers do like what they did with Christian Watson, where they trade up into the early second round, where you're getting somebody who is potentially a first round talent, but for second round capital.
Yeah. If we trade back from 25 to like, say we trade back to 33 and all of a sudden he's still there and we picked up another second rounder because of the trade back. Hell yeah, pull the trigger. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Whatever. Just put him right next to Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt and just let him cook. Yep. You know what I mean? So
absolutely. I feel similarly about Tavondre Sweat, honestly, if he falls into that same area.
I like him.
I'll get Simon's notes on him Simon has Byron Murphy number two, and in case you didn't catch it, I had Jerzon Newton number two also. Jake and I can attest to him being a monster as Badgers fans, as he kind of took over that game against the Badgers in Illinois. All right. Bryant, who is your number three?
Mine is Braden Fisk.
You have my guy that high, huh? I like it.
I like him. I don't know. That recent video that came out of him running around grabbing those little bags.
Right?
Explosive. Right? So.
When I get to both of my guys, I have something that kind of ties them together. Fisk was definitely one of the guys that I noticed at the Senior Bowl, and I think that was one of the reasons I wanted to grab him as one of my guys to highlight. But number three is where I have Byron Murphy. Definitely would be super excited if the Packers would grab him. He's one of the guys that could be the first offensive lineman to go off the board as well. And if he's there at 25, I wouldn't be mad if the Packers took him. He's got a lot of versatility in my
opinion.
Number three is where Simon has a guy pretty high. He's got Darius Robinson. I actually have him as an edge rusher. So just like one of those things where we talked about it kind of before the show started, that there's going to be some guys that are kind of in the middle ground here. And it's like, I said this to Jake about a week ago. I'm like, can we, as people that talk about the draft, like come together and collectively separate D-line, defensive end, and outside linebacker, please? Instead of having to like just throw them all into one and then being like, oh, this guy could play D-line or D-tackle or D-end or D-tackle. And then it's like, oh, no, he's lumped in with outside linebackers.
So for Darius Robinson, I think this would be a fantastic pickup for us in like the third round or maybe like second round pick, because he's so versatile with what we have right now going on the line with Engbari out and everything. He can pretty much play anywhere on the line. But my concern with him is that he'll be kind of stuck between that interior defensive lineman and that edge rusher where he's like that weird weight or whatever of like 285 pounds. But I do think he's powerful and versatile. So I think it'd be fun to, you know, he could be a fun add because he could play a lot of different parts on the line. So,
yeah. Okay. So who do you have? Who do you have number four?
That's where I got Tavondre Sweat. Like him a lot. Oh, wait. We'll let Simon. Sorry. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Simon's up first. Number four. That's where I have one of Simon's other guys that he has a little bit lower. I have Ruke Orohoro. It's his listening to his name. It's like, man, that's just cartoonishly awkward.
Yeah.
But that's how you say it.
Read it earlier, like, Horo Horo.
That's a name.
Yeah.
That's a name. You gotta bet $5 that Roger Goodell fucks it up when he says it on the draft?
Probably. Yeah. Maybe he won't get taken in the first round. Though. Well,
he'll be one of the celebrity picks and let his mom announce it so that she can say it perfectly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Number four is where Simon has Braden Fisk. So you guys have my guy higher than I do. Bryant, who's your number four?
Number four is Tavondre Sist. Number five is Chris Jenkins.
Chris Jenkins. So
that's the other guy I'm covering. You know, huge. For one, he has a pedigree to play in the NFL. His father was like a four-time Pro Bowler. You know, he played over 40 games at college. He was dominant on the Michigan defense. He was the team captain for that championship team, which is, for me, that's a huge thing, right? Like, you know, that shows that he has leadership capability. He consistently wins with his hands, and he will win the majority of his one-on-one battles. He, like I said, he has the active hands, and he does possess some pass rush ability and a good spin move. The only thing is, really, he kind of struggles with double teams or trying to bull rush or anything like that. So he probably needs, that tells me he probably needs to add a little bit of strength. But for me, it's just like, when, you know, that NFL pedigree does mean something to me, because that means it's in the blood and they grew up around it and they grew up around that work ethic and what it takes to be a successful player. So, you know, I think he could be a player if we ended up drafting that, you know, he gets in and kind of gets the feel for it. And then the next year you see a big jump.
I could see that. I mean, you look at just a guy that the Packers have drafted whose family has put people in the NFL. You look at Clay Matthews.
Yep.
All right, my number five, that's where I have Michael Hall. That is one of my first guys, 6'3", 290 from Ohio State. One of the guys that stood out at the Senior Bowl. I was bummed that I didn't get to interview him. He stayed outside of the interview space during the Senior Bowl after the practice, so I didn't get to interview him. But he has a 9.24 RAS, has a great, great swim move. He's quick on the snap, and he has power. So one thing you'll hear me talk about a lot with D-line and with edge rushers is pressure rate. So I'm looking at pressures per snap, basically. So Michael Hall had 29 pressures in 228 pass rushes. That is a 12.7% pressure rate, which for a defensive lineman is very high. Being over 10% as a guy who's going to face regular double teams is pretty high. So being at almost 13%, that definitely stood out for Michael Hall. Similarly to what you said with with Jerzon Newton being 6'2", one of the knocks on Michael Hall is that he's only 6'3". So NFL.com knocked him for his size and weight. So if he could add even some more muscle, Michael Hall could be just an absolute monster.
Yeah, my note on him was just that he's undersized, but explosive power and quickness helps him win. So, yeah.
My other thing as a potential con for Michael Hall is he could do better getting off of blocks if his initial moves fail. And then the last thing I want to say about Michael Hall, and I know you guys will like this, he reminds me of Kenny Clark. That's really what he reminds me of. I don't do a lot of comparisons, but watching his tape, it's like he gets off the snap quick. He's not necessarily like a heavy guy. Like Kenny Clark is like 313, so he's not.
Yeah,
he's not Tavondre Sweat, who's like 360. 366, Michael said Hall is only 20 years old, growing into his body. That's a fair point, but just the way that he plays. Like it does remind me.
He's only 20. You say he's only 20 years old?
Yeah, Michael said he's 20.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So my number five is Michael Hall. Jake said he likes it. I knew he would. As soon as I said the words Kenny Clark, I knew Jake was gonna like it. Number five is where Simon has Tavondre Sweat, who is my number one. But Tavondre Sweat, he has him as 22 years old, 6'4", 366 pounds. From Texas. So Simon's notes say that he played most of his snaps in his career over the B gap, ended up with 2 sacks, 31 total pressures, and 6 batted balls in 2023. That is something I noticed about him as well. He's got a knack for getting his hand up in the air to bat some passes down. Simon's pros say improved every season of college and was effective in his pass rush and run defense. You can't keep his size. Block here in my notes. Improved on his pass rush moves and counters from 2022 season. Very light on his feet for his size. Really? Fast and violent hands, showed the ability to get off double teams and win his one-on-ones. For cons, he has listed his conditioning will be very tough to manage coming out, being as big as he is, which will limit his snaps in a game. He lacks explosiveness off the line and tends to rise out of his stance, which can diminish leverage.
Yeah, for me, for Tavondre Sweat, that the size and the conditioning was my concern. If you're drafting him, I feel like you're drafting him as like a first and second down maybe run stopper, or like on third and fourth and shorts. You know what I mean? You shove that big body in there and just make him move him, which don't get me wrong. There is a spot for that.
If, oh, absolutely.
You don't take that in the first round, in my opinion. You want someone that can play the full game most of the time. But Tavondre Sweat, there's a chance he falls to the second. And if we're like, that's our run stopper right there and we take him, I'm not going
to
complain.
If he makes it to 41, I'm running up there with the card. Jake said he's by far the best run stopper in the draft, and yeah. I agree. All right, and that's Brian, who's your number six?
My number six was Darius Robinson that I talked about with his versatility, why he'd be kind of an interesting ad for Green Bay.
Steve said, I've actually heard that Chris Jenkins is the best run defender.
He is very good.
Number six is where Simon has Chris Jenkins. And then my number six is my other guy, Braden Fisk. Now, I have these two back-to-back. Hall and Fisk are actually the two fastest defensive linemen in the draft. So they both ran sub 4.8 40-yard dashes. Wow. Which, as the size that they're at 290 and 292, is impressive. So Fisk was another guy who stood out at the Senior Bowl. He's 6'4", 292, so he's got a little bit more natural NFL size. From Florida State, he had a 9.88 relative athletic score. So 924 for Hall, 988 for Fisk. So Packers placed a lot of stock in that. I watched his tape against Louisville, and he was all over the place. Like, he was in the backfield on passing plays. He was in the backfield on running plays. He tackled a wide receiver on a wide receiver screen. And Louisville was pretty good in this 2023 season. He had the longest broad jump as a defensive tackle and a 4.78 40, like I mentioned. He had 26 run stops versus 181 runs. Looking at that, when I was looking at run stops versus runs played, looking at about 10%. So if a guy is stopping 10% of runs versus running plays that he's facing, that to me is kind of like the benchmark for where guys are like more elite at run stopping. So Fisk has that in his game. He's strong, fast, has a good motor, and then again, pressure rate. He had 28 pressures in 263 pass rushes. That's a 10.6% pressure rate, which is pretty solid for a nose tackle. Again, a guy who faces a lot of double teams. As cons for Fisk, he has a 12.2 missed tackle percentage. It's not horrible, but that's getting into some gray area. He's not the best at getting off blocks, and he isn't going to demolish double teams.
Yeah, Michael,
Jake are talking about Tavondre Sweat in the comments a little bit. Michael said Sweat's RAS is a lot athletic spore, but at their body type, I'd expect RAS.
You draft Sweat, you're not expecting him to run more than a couple yards downfield. Like,
not expecting a dude who weighs 360 pounds to have a high vertical.
He might turn into like Vita Vea or something. Like, he might kill, probably not as good as pass rusher, but you know, he might kill a quarterback if he gets to him, but you're really just putting him in because it's going to take two offensive line to move the dude. Like, he's not moving.
Yeah.
So that's what you're drafting him for, is to literally clog the one side of the line.
Steve brought up another name with Snacks Harrison, another dude that was just huge. He was just there to take up space.
Yep.
Jake said Sweat coming in is going to be a one-trick pony, but looking at the Packers last 5 or 6 years, we could use an elite run stopper with Kenny. Yep. Absolutely. If you're doing anything and you're freeing up fewer blockers to go against Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary, like, I'm on board with having you on the field.
And aside from cornerback and, well, I wouldn't even say cornerback necessarily, but aside from safety and defense, linebacker. The Packers are in kind of a position to where they can burn. Like, I would want it to be in the second round if that's what we're doing, but we can take a player like that in the second round and have them have that one thing we want them to do. We don't need them to do everything because we have a lot of versatility along our line.
I mean, you could arguably look at it at Christian Watson the same way.
Yep.
He was brought in, you know, we don't need you to be a possession receiver and a slant receiver. Like, we brought you here because you're fast.
Yep.
So I could see that. All right. Who is your number seven?
That's where I have Ruke Ohorohoro.
Nicely done. Number seven is where I have Chris Jenkins. And then number seven is where Simon also has Ohorohoro. So Simon's notes on Ruke are he's 22 years old, 6'4", 294 pounds, 9.9 relative athletic score. So another guy high on that. And my number four. So Simon's notes are he played mostly over the B-gap, played a little bit across the whole line, ended 2023 with 5 sacks, 26 pressures, and 1 batted ball. His pros are that he's very strong, pound-for-pound player with an exceptional motor, a versatile defensive lineman that can play anywhere from the 0 to 5 tech, sound run defender who keeps his shoulders square to the ball and can be used well on stunts. Strongly agree with that.
Steve, I don't think that's going to happen. The Packers, there's been reports that they're actually working on a extension for Kenny Clark. So, and I'm all on board with that.
As am I. His cons on Ohorohoro, doesn't have a consistent pass rush repertoire. He's inconsistent in block shedding and has difficulty against double teams. Another one of those guys. If he falls anywhere to the late second or early third round and he's available for the Packers, like, run the card up there. He, in my opinion, is one of the more versatile guys. When you're looking at defensive line, him and Byron Murphy are two very versatile guys in this defensive line class. Okay. Who is your number eight?
My number eight is Michael Hall Jr.
Okay. Number eight, Simon has Mekhi Wingo, and I have Mason Smith. That is one of Jake's guys who is he's going to cover when he's feeling a little better. Who is your number nine?
That's right, Brayden Dorlis. So I just put that he is physical, kind of has heavy hands, but he's a little bit of versatility as well, but not a lot of good instincts in the run game. Seems like he struggles in the run game, and honestly, I think if we're taking interior defensive lineman, we need someone that's going to play the run.
Yep, absolutely. Especially if we're going to be in a 4-3. Number nine is where Simon has Michael Hall, and number nine is where I have Dwayne Carter. Who is your number 10?
Fabian Lovett Sr.
Okay.
Who is someone who's actually, he's got balance and powerful, and he's really good against the run. So that would be like another person we could draft that is just kind of, we use him for early downs or short yardage downs.
Number 10, Simon has Leonard Taylor III, and that's where I have Tyler Davis. Who is your number 11?
Dwayne Carter, who another person that I put really good against the run and anchoring, not much of a pass rusher. So
yep, that's fair. Number 11 is where Simon has Dwayne Carter as well. And number 11, I have Mekhi Wingo. Who is your number 12?
Mekhi Wingo, yep.
Okay.
So
number 12, yeah. Simon has McKinley Jackson. McKinney? Oh, it is McKinley. Okay. He messed me up because he has a capital I in the middle of his name. I think he meant to capitalize the K.
Mekhi Wingo is another guy that's just good against the run. So like those last three or whatever, I was kind of looking for people that I think we can just kind of plug and play on early downs.
That's fair.
Situational.
Steve said Snacks Harrison had a 1.08 RAS.
Nice.
Yikes.
That'd be more vertical yet, too. Like probably pushes his ass at least 1.5.
All right. Number 12, that's where Simon had McKinney Jackson. Number 12 is where I have Jordan Jefferson, my last one. All right, you ready to edge?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Over to edge rushers. This is going to be fun. I'm excited to reveal my number one. So I'm going to let you go first and give me your number one, and I will give Simon's.
Okay, and I'll say that I'm not going to give the names yet, but my 1 through 3, kind of like I talked to Tyler about before the show, for me, they're all really similar players, so you could really mix these up anyway, and it'd be fine. So, but my number one, I put Dallas Turner.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
And that's someone that I'm covering. So 6'3", 247 pounds, 4.46 speed. That's where like he kind of took the step a little bit ahead of other people, because that 4.46 speed is kind of crazy. For that position, explosive pass rusher who should produce rushing the passer right away. Has a very first fast step and quick change of direction. He is more of a tweener, but uses his elite athleticism and the pressure blockers and the quarterback. For me, it's just like this. If we draft someone like this, oh, crap, Marquette lost. There goes my dude. I've had such a bad weekend. I was killing my bracket. Now it just completely fell apart. Anyways, Dallas Turner is, for me, that's somewhere like when we bring back a pass rusher like we had in Clay Matthews or someone, actually very similar size, 6'3", pretty much the same weight, but Dallas Turner is actually like 0.2 of a second faster than Clay Matthews was. So for me, that
no one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
To add that, like, we don't have a real tweener pass rusher like that. So that would be an interesting add. We would have to trade up to get him. But yeah, if you draft him, you're taking him to, you're not asking him to stop the run as much. You're basically asking him to pass, rush the passer and have some sideline ability with outside runs or QB scrambles.
Yeah. And looking at a lot of these top four guys, they're probably going to be guys the Packers have to trade up at least, you know, a handful of spots if they're going to want to get some of these top guys. And you kind of touched on at the beginning of the show, doing the research on these guys, finding out how deep and how actually top heavy some of these positions are. And it's like looking at it, like tackles, wide receivers, and edge rushers could be like it for the first round besides quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like those four positions could basically encompass the entire first round.
Yeah. My number four on here, all top four of these people I've all seen getting drafted in the first round. Same with several of the D line we talked about too. So,
yeah. And I'll say I've seen the top four on my list. I've seen them all go in the top 15 in different mock drafts.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Steve said we have to have guys. We have guys to run through your face. Would love some speed. All right. We'll get some speed. Simon also has Dallas Turner number one. My number one is Chop Robinson.
Okay.
So that's one of my guys. He's 6'3", 254 out of Penn State. He ran a 4.48 40-yard dash. So, Steve, there's some speed for you right there. He had a 9.69 RAS. Michael said he could never have enough pass rushers. And with Kingsley Enagbare figuring to miss probably the first half of the season with his ACL injury.
And you got to believe this probably Preston Smith last year too.
Yeah, that could be. I could see him retiring, honestly. Jake said, based off Goody's comments, he doesn't really care about speed. He cares more about size. Yeah, I mean, and that could be something. It'll be really interesting to see. I'd love to have more Jeff Hafley comments on this as well. Listening to it, I guess Hafley was one of the guys who was pushing to bring back some of the guys the Packers brought back defensively, as well as like Keyshawn Nixon. Hafley was adamant about having Keyshawn Nixon back because he thinks he can be useful in his defense. So, Chop Robinson, third-team All-American, first-team All-Big Ten. He has great speed off the edge, and he has a nose for the ball. So when he's bringing quarterbacks down or when he's tackling running backs, he has a nose for swatting at the ball and forcing fumbles. Thank you, Jake. I make those good sometimes. So my thing with Chop Robinson, do you remember how when we used to talk about Devontae Adams all the time, we talk about how the fact that he's fast and quick,
yeah,
and twitchy, where you watch his feet and it's like, okay, he's not
like floating in the air, changing direction in midair.
Exactly. And his footwork, things like that. That's my thing with Chop Robinson. He is fast and twitchy. He's fast and quick. He's both. He's not overly powerful, but he does have some sneaky strength to him. And he only missed 7.1% of tackles. That is super low for an edge rusher. as I've seen with some of these other guys who are up like 15, 20, some 25% on missed tackles. So Chop Robinson being a very sure tackler absolutely gives him a bump for me over some of these other guys. And that's why he ended up being my number one. So looking at him, he had 26 pressures in 148 pass rushes. That's a 17.6% pressure rate. That's very high. And then the other thing that I looked at, and this is one of the other reasons I'd like to have outside linebackers separated from D end, is because I did look at coverage with a lot of these guys. And separating outside linebacker from defensive end would save me a little bit of time when looking at that, because if I know a guy's a defensive end, I don't have to look at coverage. But looking at outside linebacker type players, I'm looking at guys who can maybe cover running backs out of the backfield or tight ends. So Chop Robinson's coverage, he played 91 coverage snaps to a 68.1 passer rating when targeted 12 times. So looking at potential cons, he did miss two games in 2023. And to nitpick, you could say he could improve against the run. Michael brought up a guy, Brenton Cox, is ready to step up, but was at the Seattle preseason game last year. He dominated in. I believe he can step up while Enagbare rehabs. He's going to be a guy that's like one of the guys to keep an interesting eye on during
training. I'm very interested to see how he developed in his first full offseason as an NFL pro. Because he got to see, like, he's probably this, it's make or break at this point, right? Not make or break, but it's either he's like, okay, I'm just going to not get to play, or he's like, screw this. I want to be on that field more. So I'm going to, and I know I have that chance with Mbari. I'm going to really put some work in this offseason. So I'm excited to see what he comes into workouts like.
Yeah. Okay. So. Let's do, who is your number two?
So that's where I have Chop Robinson. And, that's all I put was, I put he's raw, but he has the potential to be the best pass rusher of the group. So
I like it. Jake said, Andy's a guy with a troublesome pass. Green Bay is the best place for him to land. That's fair.
Yep.
Number two is where Simon has Leatu Latu. So that is one of his guys. Simon has him down as a 23-year-old, 6'5", 259 pounds, 9.19 RAS. He ended 2023 with 15 sacks and 62 pressures. Spoiler alert, I also have him number two. Simon's pros on Latu are excellent hand usage with a wide variety of pass rush moves at his disposal, above average bend, quickness, and agility. For cons, he has not the best run defender, is inconsistent at diagnosing and reacting to run plays, sometimes struggles to disengage blockers in the run game, and his medical history poses a risk with a suffered a significant neck injury in 2021. And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, he did miss a big chunk of 2022 with an injury as well.
You see, you probably didn't see it, but NFL.com, his player comparison on NFL.com was, which is just wild to me, but it was TJ Watt.
Interesting. I can see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but, man, that's hard to compare someone to someone that puts up 20 sack seasons consistently. Arguably the best defensive player in the NFL every year.
Right, yeah. Scott asked, how are the Packers going to approach the draft? Honestly, I think it's going to be best player available.
To a degree, yep.
And the cool thing is that the Packers have a lot of flexibility by having 11 picks and still a little bit of cap space to wiggle around. Wouldn't shock me at all to see the Packers make a draft day or draft day two or draft day three trades.
There's going to be some trades for sure.
The flexibility, and that's something that Gutekunst has talked about all offseason, is flexibility. So, Scott, to answer your question, I think it'll be best player available, but honestly, everything's at the table at this point, which is kind of exciting. It makes it a little harder
for sure. Like, if I was a betting man, which I am, but if I was going to bet on this, I would bet that they go either a defensive back, like I know, Cooper DeJean is a big name for the first. I don't know. I want to see his workout first, but I would bet offensive line. But then it's been like, it's been a long ass time since the Packers drafted an interior lineman in the first round. I can't remember this, but it's been over a couple decades, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably I don't know, Chad Clifton or something.
Yeah, something crazy like that. So. We'll see.
Oh, what about Corey Linsley? Was he a first-round pick or was he a second?
Wasn't he a third?
Maybe he was a third. I don't know. It was a long time ago. I don't even remember.
He wasn't first, though.
So. Okay. Yeah, Scott said, thanks. Hopefully, we'll do well. Honestly, looking at Gutekunst's last two drafts, he's absolutely knocked them out of the park.
Yep.
Honestly, if we get to a point, like if say, like Troy Fautanu is available in the first round, I would love that pick as well. So we're going to miss Showtime. Honestly, like, yeah, we're going to miss the person, I think, more than the player, if I'm being completely honest. Josh Jacobs possesses basically the same skill set, but the ability to be a three down back.
I don't know. For me, for him going to, he went to the Vikings out of spite. There was better opportunities for him, and he went there. He's not winning anything.
Like, dude, go to Dallas. Go home.
Dallas would have been a way better.
Even Houston before they got Mixon. Like, go home.
Well, yeah. Like,
go,
it was
go to your home state, dude. Crazy. He didn't go to one of the Texas.
Dude, he could have gone to Houston, probably. He could have went to Dallas. Like, he could have went to Dallas.
He's from Texas.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just nuts to me.
Yeah.
I did it out of spite, and it was just like, dude. I like instantly soured me on him. He was one of my all time favorite Packers. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love what he did for us, but his like story with his dad in the military obviously has a personal tie to me a little bit and stuff like that. But for him to go do that, just to me, it's just like
Feels petty.
It feels petty, and it's like, dude, you're one of my favorite players. I want to see you win a Super Bowl, and you put yourself in a position that you're not even going to be close to doing it.
Scott said Vikings never do well with our players.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they have some that play a little well, but, I mean, obviously...
I mean, Favre was the one really stupid throw away from going to the Super Bowl with him if he just runs forward 5 yards.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Longwell was pretty good for the Vikings. Greg Jennings was never as good as he was at the Packers, obviously. Steve said he thinks it's a fifth round. Yeah. I mean, Favre was good there, but like we said, never won anything significant. I think they had one NFC championship game. Jake said Derek Sherrod was the last offensive lineman drafted by the Packers in the first round.
Yeah, but what about interior? It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake, I'm not even going to mention that name. Doesn't need to be. Okay. So where are we? I think we're at number three now. Who is your number three?
Sorry, I just seen his comments.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that.
My number three is Jared Verse. And he's someone I'm covering. I do have, he's 6'4", 254 pounds, ran a 4.581. My brother Chris wanted me to say about Jared Verse that he's very versatile. So he wanted me to make sure I got that in there. Now so I hope he gets drafted with the Vikings like Chris wants, and then he's just a bust. Anyways, another player that wins.
That was a pretty stretched out dad joke there.
Yeah. So he's another player that wins with the first step and plays with a lot of energy. He's good at controlling his blockers with leverage and strong hands. He's really good at diagnosing plays, so he's a smart player and closing the distance. He does need to work on his footwork, and he's missed some tackles. And he struggles a little bit when bigger blockers get their hands on him pretty clean, so he just needs to work on shedding the block and then actually finishing the tackle. But, yeah.
Number three, Simon also has Jared Verse. Number three is where I have Dallas Turner. And you mentioned Dallas Turner is your number one, and Simon has him as number one. I'm totally fine if you put him above Chop Robinson and Leiatu Latu. Those three for me are all interchangeable. So yeah, number three is where I have Dallas Turner. Who is your number four?
Mine is Latu. That's where I have number four. I just put, you know, he's got a real good like arsenal of pass rush moves. So so maybe he does turn into TJ Watt shit.
Yeah, maybe. And like the high sack numbers, like I can see it.
Maybe we don't pass on him this time, like we did TJ Watt.
Number four is where Simon has Chop Robinson, and number four, that's where I have Jared Verse. So a little bit lower than the last, a lot of it. Jake said Ross Verba, 1997, was the last guard drafted by the Packers in the first round.
I knew it had been a long time.
That's a hot minute. Not as long as it's been since the Bears have won the Super Bowl, though.
Not as long as the Bears had a 4,000-yard passer.
Oh, wait.
That's never happened.
All right, number five.
Number five, I have Chris Braswell. So I know none of us are covering him, so I just put that, you know, he can drop into coverage really well, actually, but he's just kind of an athletic freak. This dude squatted 705 pounds and he power cleaned 405 and has a 39-inch vertical. So he needs to develop some instincts, but if we do take him, it's a player that we're gonna have to develop for the first year, almost like we did with Gary. But he needs to learn the game instead of just winning because of the fact that he's an athletic freak. So
Jake said Chop Robinson at four is criminal. I agree. Number one. Number five is where Simon also has Chris Braswell. Number five is where I have Adisa Isaac. I actually really like him. I think he's got a lot of versatility as well. Who is your number six?
That's where I have Austin Booker. So kind of like I said to you, he's only played 505 college snaps, but the NFL.com compared him to Max Crosby. I was like, either they've seen something like this dude is going
to
be a monster.
We find a way to draft Leatu Latu and Austin Booker and get TJ Watt and Max Crosby on the same team.
But like, I was just looking, I was like, the dude's played 500 snaps and you're saying he's Max Crosby. That's insane. Somehow Minnesota Gophers, you know, the Goofers, as we like to call them here in North Dakota. they didn't play him. Max. He just sat on their bench the whole time. And then he went to Kansas and had 12 sacks or whatever it was. So.
Yeah, it was a lot. He's one of my guys, so I will get to him. Number six is where Simon has Adisa Isaac. That's his second guy. Simon's notes on Adisa Isaac are 22 years old, 6'4", 247, with an 8.82 RAS. He ended the 2023 season with 9 sacks and 33 total pressures. The pros, consistently fast and violent hands to get off blocks, wins inside and gains leverage when bull rushing and defending the run. He's a stout run defender. The cons are he could pack on a few more pounds for added strength, occasionally can be late off the ball on rundowns, which can lead to bad positioning. He has some stiffness in his hips and ankles, making tight corner turns difficult as a pass rusher. Number six is where I have Braylon Trice. That is one of Jake's guys, who, again, he will cover when he makes his own video when he's feeling better. So who is your number seven?
That's where I have Adisa Isaac.
Okay. Number seven is where Simon has Austin Booker. Number seven is where I have Chris Braswell. Steve asked, is there some fear that selecting players from elite college teams, is their productivity inflated by having studs all around them? Mm-hmm. To a point, but honestly, at some point, there's still only one football. So for all of them to be racking up significant statistics, like you look at Texas, for example, or Ohio State. You know, we're going to get to linebackers next week, but Tommy Eichenberg is going to be high. He plays with Michael Hall Jr. Texas has Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, and Dallas Turner all on the same team. You look at Alabama, they had Chris Braswell and Justin Igbo-Igbe. Like, there's multiple guys on a lot of these teams. Even Latu has some good guys around.
Dallas Turner played Alabama?
What's that?
I thought Dallas Turner was from Alabama.
Did I mix up Dallas Turner?
You said he was at Texas.
I mixed it up. One of the other ones is at Texas. Right. I don't remember who his name
was. I was just confused. I was like, what, did I look at the wrong guy?
Texas has another really good pass rusher, but I think he's a defensive lineman.
For me, if you're playing with a bunch of elite people and you're still out producing those elite people, that means you're probably a little bit, you know, a step above them. And also those elite teams, a lot of times they're playing other elite talent. We're talking about pass rushers that were on Alabama that were going against guards, tackles, and stuff from, you know, Georgia or LSU or something like that, that you might go see go in the first round as well. So that's where it's not a concern for me. It's where like people like Marshawn Nyland, which I know Jake will talk about, it's can they produce against talent that's at their level? Because those are the people that should be wrecking, like Carl Brooks, for example, from us. Like, we're like, can he do that? You know, not at Bowling Green, but in the NFL. And guess what? He did. Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, to use an example from last week, Mason McCormick coming from South Dakota State. Jalen Ford is the other guy from Texas I was thinking of, not Dallas Turner. Steve said Miles Jack had Kenny Clark. I mean, I don't have a fear because, I mean, if they're performing well at big schools, that's really all you want from guys.
I think Miles Jack plays better if he doesn't tear his ACL too.
Yeah. Okay. I believe we are up to
seven or eight, excuse me.
Yeah, number eight.
That's where I have Marshawn Nyland.
Okay, that is one of Jake's guys, actually. Number eight, Simon has Braylon Trice. That is also one of Jake's guys. And number eight is where I have Austin Booker. So you mentioned the 505 career snaps. That is a knock on him. But he's 6'4", 240 from Kansas, has really good closing speed. He's very slippery in the B gap, and he has good bend around tackles. So him being able to rush inside the B gap between the guard and the tackle and being to bend around the outside, that versatility was important to me.
I think he could run some stunts pretty well.
Absolutely. My other thing with him, and Jake and I hammered on this a lot with a guy like Kingsley and Igbari and even Rashawn Gary to a point, is setting the edge in the run game. That is something I noticed that Austin Booker is good at. So he sets the edge. And the other thing with Austin Booker is that dude lays the wood. That dude hits hard on running, passing plays, like whatever it is. Austin Booker hits hard. So Steve said at the end of the day, Goody will select traits. That's totally fair. Yeah. I mean, that's what he does. So looking at Austin Booker, he had 34 run stops versus 229 runs. Again, I mentioned if he's over like that 10% threshold, like that's pretty good. So for him to have 34 run stops in 229 pass or run plays, that stood out to me. As far as cons, he did have an 18.5 missed tackle percentage. That is a little high for me. Prefer to be around like 14 or under. But my thing is he weighs 240 pounds. He doesn't get pushed back. Like, he has good leverage. If he was an offensive lineman, you'd say he has a strong anchor. But he could add some weight and power to his frame, which going into the NFL, maybe NFL conditioning can get him, you know, say 15 pounds in weight. That would make him more effective. All right. Who you have number 9?
Brennan Jackson.
Number 9 is where Simon has Jonah Ellis. Number 9, I'm going to throw out a guy that I noticed at the Senior Bowl. I'm going to throw out Miles Cole. He has the number 1 RAS score, relative athletic score, for edge rushers at 9.97. And he's just an athletic freak. Seeing him at the Senior Bowl, like, he's a guy that you could use as like a D-end or outside linebacker, and they had him working with a defensive lineman, and he's just a freak. So I have Miles Cole. I might be the only one that has him in my top 12, but he stood out to me at the Senior Bowl, and I've liked him since. Who is your number 10?
I have a Mohamed Kamara out of Colorado State. That's like one of those players that, you know, he's undersized, but he had outstanding production. But it's, can he do it against, you know, is that undersized, is that going to hurt him against more talented players?
I have Kamara at 14. But number 10, Simon has Gabriel Murphy, as do I. I also have Gabriel Murphy at number 10. One of the guys, he's at UCLA too, wasn't he?
Yep.
Him and his brother, both from UCLA. I don't have it written down next to my notes, and I should have. Who do you have at number 11?
That's where I have Gabriel Murphy.
Okay. Number 11, Simon has Marshawn Nealand. That's one of Jake's guys. And then number 11, that's where I have Darius Robinson. I have him as an edge rusher.
Okay.
Who do you have? Number 12.
That's where I have Braylon Trice.
Number 12. Simon has Javon Solomon, and number 12, I have Jonah Ellis. Jake wanted me to make sure I mentioned who the Packers are looking at for undrafted free agents, and it's a perfect way to end the show looking at it from a Wisconsin standpoint, is the Green Bay Packers are reportedly hosting CJ Getz from Wisconsin as a potential undrafted free agent. So looking at maybe CJ Getz ending up with the Packers, that would be awesome. We've had him on the show before, so seeing him end up in Green Bay would be awesome. So hopefully that happens.
I absolutely love the fact that they use their top 30 visits for that.
Absolutely. It'll be really interesting. And the thing is, I'll bring this up with top 30 visits. We should probably mention this on every one of our draft shows. The top 30 visits are not if the Green Bay Packers had picks number 1 through 30. It's if the draft was 30 rounds, or they had 30 picks, those are the interviews they're going to have. So, it's not going to be if the Packers have the number 1 pick through the number 30 pick that those are the 30 players. So they're not going to be interviewing Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy in their top 30 visits, because those guys are going to be 4 of the top 10 picks.
Where maybe Chicago should do something like that.
They have to use
5 of their visits for quarterbacks or whatever.
Interview 15 quarterbacks and 15 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to say on edge or defensive line before we sign off?
Oh, I mean, this is where I think we'll draft like 3 or 4. I think 3 is the minimum amount of offensive line we draft pick. I think we could pick 1 or 2 defensive linemen in this draft. And luckily for us, both of those positions are very deep. So
absolutely. Steve said, I don't think Jair even knew Green Bay was in on him. And he was a trade up. They traded up for Jair. So I don't think they knew they were in on him until they saw that he was kind of slipping. Jake said, Brian always with the Bears slander. Got to let the Bears catch some strays, even when we're talking about the draft. All right. Next week, we will be doing line. No, that's 2 weeks from now. Next week is defensive backs. So we will be doing corners and safeties. The Packers are probably looking to take at least a couple from that defensive back group, potentially even the first round. Bryant really mentioned earlier, Cooper DeJean is a possibility for that first round pick. Last week we did offensive line, so if you're interested in checking that out, we also posted our consensus rankings today for offensive line. Again, next week is going to be defensive backs. And then Monday, our Patreon is going to go live. This is mainly for the Wednesday part of the show. Once we get into September, it could affect the Packers part of it. But Jake and I are starting a Patreon on Monday for watch parties. So we're going to be doing two watch parties per month. It's going to be two watch parties per month. Jake and I are making our own pregame and postgame shows. We did one last Sunday for the Thunder game. You can check that out. I'm also going to post some clips of that soon. And we posted some clips of some of our reactions to plays during the games. We are doing another watch party on April 16th for the Brewers and Padres. So people can kind of get a look at exactly what our watch parties are going to entail. And they can decide if that's worth $5 a month to them or not. Other than that,
are better humans than me. Because I turn into a different person when I watch a Packers game.
We'll have to load the screen, Bryant, before we decide to bring him on.
All you have to do is ask Simon. It's not going to happen.
Look at that. Michael's already got a quote from one of our watch parties from Jake yelling weight room at Chet Holmgren last night.
Awesome. I mean, I could grow our Patreon with it because people would want to join to, laugh at me. But
we'll put the Bryant cam on there. We'll just let Bryant be the just
rage Bryant in my basement.
Yep, there we go. We're just gonna put the rage,
watch cam me rage in my basement.
All righty, we will be back next week with defensive backs. Jake and I'll be back on Wednesday to talk Bucks and Brewers, who started today with a win. So join us for that on Wednesday. Other than that, Bryant, I'll see you next Friday.
All right, see ya.